Welcome to the teaching ministry of Grace Fellowship Church in Bradenton, Florida. We welcome you to join our pastor, William Rogers, as he continues his verse-by-verse study in the Word of God.
Our text today is going to be from Galatians 2:20. You'll see as I read it, it's a very powerful verse. It is, as Paul and I were talking before, he asked me what I was preaching on, and I said, well, the message is, the title is In Christ Alone. And the text is Galatians 2:20. And Paul, our dear friend in Christ, says, that's it. That's the whole message of the Christian life. Well, let's look at it together. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's a powerful verse. I think we all could just run around and say, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. But my question today is, what does it mean to live this Christian life in Christ alone? Can there be any part of me contributing to this life, this Christian life, as I walk it? If I can contribute, is there a percent of myself involved in living this Christian life? Is this Christian life me getting better? Can it be that? Can I examine my life and determine that I am getting better? I'm reading the Bible more. I'm giving more. And just overall saying, I'm becoming a better person. After all, most of us here want to improve, don't we? We want to get better. Well, I want to get better too. I lived a life like that, my whole life. Athletics, got to get better, got to improve. Business, got to sell more, got to be better. Get better. Even in church, I've got to get better. I got to do more. Where's that coming from? But is that what it means to live this Christian life? My hope today is to show more clearly. When I sat with William and Ed a couple weeks ago, I said, it's become clear to me. And I realized it has not become clear to me. It is becoming clearer to me as I walk this life that I can show today, maybe more clearly, what Scripture shows us about living this Christian life in Christ alone. In Christ alone means I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Well, I look at this, and when I see crucifixion, and last night as I'm woken up at 4 a.m., of all things, it reminded me of that cross. It's like the Lord said, it's behind you every week. The example of crucifixion is right there behind you. It's empty. Jesus is not there, but the picture is crucifixion. What was crucifixion? It was one of the most horrific ways to kill a person. And as I woke up last night, I realized Jesus was put on that cross and crucified. It was to execute, to kill someone for a crime that deserves death. And again, we all know that's what Christ went through for us. He was crucified. But we are crucified also. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. I have been crucified with Christ. Well, who is this I that's still walking around that's been crucified? Who is it? I mean, I'm still here. I'm still walking around. Paul was. He proclaimed it. I have been crucified. Well, I think we get a better understanding that this is the part of me that has been crucified. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you do not have to scramble around finding these verses because I couldn't do it doing this sermon. I had to write them down so I can look at them and go through this, or we'd be here till 5 o'clock, as William would say. So, what had to be crucified? What part of I must be crucified? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 really describes that. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, too, you all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, the mind, and you were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So what must be crucified? It's pretty obvious. The trespasses and sins. That former course of life that I walked, it must be crucified. It has to be done away with. Our sins. The disobedience. Do you realize that that former life, all it could do is what? All it could do was sin. That is all you were capable of doing. That is why we must understand what crucifixion means. Everything about the former life must be crucified because by nature, you are children of wrath. You are children of wrath. That's pretty hard for the flesh to take. If you have spiritual ears, you will hear this. And it will do something to you because you will recognize something, what has to be crucified, that I that must be crucified. Why must that be crucified? Romans 6:23 shows us. Everybody here can probably quote this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I said it before, the only thing that life could do is sin. John MacArthur says the only thing that life could do is good, bad. It may look like they're doing good, but the only thing a life can do before Christ is sin. And what was it doing? It was accumulating wages that were going to equal death. So it must be crucified because you have accumulated these wages that have to be paid for. I must be crucified with Christ. The wages must be paid for. That is why we must be crucified. John 14:6 tells us something. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is one crucifixion. There is one way to heaven. It is Jesus Christ through the crucifixion. The Lamb of God who was slain before what? The foundation of the world. This was set in motion a long time ago, before time. The plan of crucifixion set by God is perfect. There will be no other way. It is the only way. So if I must be crucified and put to death, who am I? Who am I now if I have been crucified? Well, becomes obvious we're changed, right? Point number two is, that was point one, the crucifixion. Point number two is, we are changed, and we are changed in Christ alone. What is changed? Galatians 2:20 says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me." Speaks of change, doesn't it? A change from no longer I, but it is now Christ who lives within me. A life transplant has taken place. And there are some things that have changed. Everything has changed, but I hit some points here where our identity has changed. Our ownership has changed. Our mind has changed. Our view has changed. And our position has changed. Our identity has changed. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. "Or do you not know that all of you have, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self," remember the I, "the old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin," everything about it, that I, "might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, no longer identified by your sin life." That is glorious. You have been changed. We practice the ordinance of baptism here. The picture of it is, you have been buried with Christ, and you are raised to walk in newness of life. Argument about water baptism? Well, it's okay. You see the picture. It's the testimony. It is the outward picture of you identifying with Jesus Christ, because your identity has now changed. You are new. You have a new identity, and it is in Jesus Christ. You're identified with his death. You're buried with him. You're raised with him. You have a new life. You're in the likeness of his resurrection. The old sin is done away with. I can't think of a better place to be, Scripture tells us, but we must see that I that no longer lives. It must be Christ within me. The second point is, our ownership is changed. In Christ alone, our ownership is changed. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. For therefore glorify God in your body." Your ownership is changed. That again can bristle the flesh. You mean to tell me there's nothing in me that can do anything? You are now a vessel of the Holy Spirit within you. And he is the one that is now dwelling within us. He is the one who is telling you, you are not your own any longer. You are mine. You are my possession. Your ownership has changed. It has changed from you thinking these ways to now owned by me and everything that means. I couldn't even make this clear, because I'm still in the process of seeing this clearer, this ownership, because frankly, I still walk around in this flesh, but my ownership has changed. Our mind has changed in Christ alone. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. but a natural man. This is 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. Our mind is changed. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. And the key verse here is 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ now. Everything we see now is different. We have the mind of Christ. So moving to the next point is our view is changed. Our view is completely changed. Romans 8:5 says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So now, because our mind is changed, now our view is changed, we see our relationships, we see more a view of who God truly is. We were unable to see that before, but now we are able to. Our view is completely changed. World events. My response to everything changes. It's like this morning, Ed. We wouldn't have seen it. We would have just said, this is another thing getting in the way of what I had planned to do. But we step back and we go, Lord, you are absolutely perfectly orchestrating this, because our view now is more and more, you are a sovereign God working over this. And the scripture comes to you, man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's obvious. And we're taught through that, aren't we? So our view has changed. And then our position has changed in Christ alone. It is no longer I who live, but Christ now who lives within me. My position has changed. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In Christ alone, our position changes, and it must change from where we were to where we are. Now, reconciled, a relationship with God has now been restored. It's salvific in nature to understand our position before God before Christ comes in and changes that life. The position changes. You went from, as the verse tells us, we were enemies of God. William has said this, and it can kind of bristle the flesh a bit. We were God haters. Before Christ comes in and changes our position, you are a God hater. People don't want to be called that. They don't want to be declared. Do you realize that before Christ came in and changed your life, you were a God hater? We went from a position of hating God to a position of being loved by God, saved from his wrath, which must be administered because of that old I. So we can't take that on, that wrath. And now we love God. And our scripture there is 1 John 4:19. We love him because what? He first loved us. It shows you can't conjure up any of this. It is in Christ alone. It is his love. It is his love that he puts in a heart. Or you're not capable of doing it. Your position of a God, enemy of God, has to be changed to now a position of loving God, and you can't do it. It can only be done in Christ alone. And it brings us to the next point. In Christ alone not only means we've been crucified with Christ and that we have been changed. In Christ alone means, which for me became a little more obvious, I'm walking around in this life, and the life that I now live, from Galatians 2:20, in the flesh, as I am walking around physically, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I see the contrast. I see the contrast of the old life up against a life now that I can walk by faith. We can see the contrast. We, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we now walk by faith and not by sight. So the contrast shows us how to walk. Seeing the contrast in our life shows us how to walk. The next point, and this is a lot of reading here, but it really shows us the contrast a little more personally. Galatians 5:16. Not only are we shown how to walk, but we're shown the path to walk. We're shown a path to walk. The path is, but I say, from Galatians 5:16 through 25, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. There's contrast right there. The contrast between the Spirit and the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There's something still there, isn't there, from that eye that is supposed to be completely crucified. Well, it's still hanging on. It's still hanging on. But we're beginning to be shown a path to walk, because the things that I looked at before that were pleasing to me are no longer pleasing to me. So I begin to walk a path that is led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions. The list gets longer. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, everything just told us we can't be that anymore. But we can see it now. We can now see it that is not the path that I walk any longer. As I walk through this life, those are the areas of my life that I stay away from. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If I live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we walk this path. We see the contrasts, so it shows us how to walk, and it shows us the path to walk, and then we can go to the Word, and the Word says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet to stop me from stumbling as I walk this path. And then the next part is, this contrast shows us sin. We hadn't seen sin before. If we say, from 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth cannot be in us. Jesus Christ dwelling in us, participating in his crucifixion, identified with him, if we do not see sin. If we cannot see the sin, we are deceiving ourselves. Christ cannot be in you if you can't see the contrast. The contrast shows us the sin versus who Christ is, the truth in us. And the contrast seen brings us to confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, in the past, I would look at that and see it as a works. If I confess my sins, well, what one did I commit now? I've got to stay up on this. I must be writing them down. But what has happened to this life is we see the sin, and now we are agreeers with God. We are identified by a life that can now confess the sin. And the glory of it is you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You are now a person forgiven, but you are a person who confesses what they see, that sin. And then, we were talking about this earlier, sanctification. If you can see the contrast scene will bring sanctification, and it will be in Christ alone. Paul says this in Romans 7:15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. What is going on, Paul? You said you were crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. This is a perfect picture of a believer. Here he is. It's Paul. He wrote these books. Paul, what's going on? He is showing us something, and it's sanctification. He understands for the first time what he hates. He hates that old self. He hates that sin, and the process of sanctification comes along. We will sin. It's said right here, why do I continue to do this? Why am I doing this? Some commentators would say, well, Paul wasn't a Christian yet. That makes no sense whatsoever. That he wrote all of this in Romans and then all of a sudden he falls and now he's not a Christian? No. He's being sanctified. For the first time, he can now see the horror of that sin, and you hear it out of him as the Holy Spirit guides him. I hate it. I hate this. And as he sees what he hates, he now has a choice. He now has a choice he never had before. A choice you and I never had before until Christ came into our life through the crucifixion and the change of our life. And that is to not sin. All you could do was sin. Now, Paul, you see it through Paul. All he can do is make a choice now. He has a choice. I think sometimes through what we teach here, the absolute sovereignty of God, you would say, well, you're robots. No. Boy, you see it more clearly than ever. That sin within, that thing that we hate. And I have a choice now. It's sanctification. It's sanctification. Do you think you're going to do the right thing every day now? Are you perfect? We're not perfect. We're going to see it, but we're going to get to see what we hate being lived out in front of us, and it's going to sanctify us. I see what I hate. I no longer want to do that. Paul even takes it a step further. The contrast scene leads you to forgiveness, because now I see the horror of this sin. I need something. It just draws you to forgiveness. He says in Romans 7:24, the contrast scene is, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the only way. It is absolutely through Jesus Christ and only him. The body of this death. John MacArthur in his commentary says, there was a culture in Tarsus, maybe Paul's talking about this, that what they would do when a person murdered someone, they would take that body and they would strap it to the back of the murderer. He's describing himself as this body of death, as it is strapped to the back of the murderer's body. And what's going to happen to that body? This is what they did. It will decompose into that body. All that that body could do, and Paul sees it so clearly, it's a body of death. And all it does is permeate into me, and the only result of that will be death. And it's a slow killing process as that all of that decomposing of the body and all the filth goes into the person. What a graphic picture of the wretched body that you won't see this unless you are in Christ alone. You can't see that. It is horrific to us. It will become more horrific to us over time. That sin, that contrast, right? We must see the contrast. And point four is in Christ alone means we are complete. What a glorious thing. We are complete in Christ alone. Going back to the text, I have been. The whole verse is completeness. It just shows completeness. It screams it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The crucifixion is complete. It's complete. The crucifixion means we are complete in him. We've participated in the crucifixion. Jesus said it from the cross. It is finished. There will be one and only one sacrifice for these sins. It is finished. Everything in Scripture pointed to the finality of the crucifixion on the cross. It's empty. He's not there anymore. We're identified with him. We've been raised in him. The crucifixion is complete. Anything that says anything other than that is a slap in the face of a holy God. The other point is the change is complete. You have been completely changed. If you are in Christ alone, you are never identified by your past sinful life. If you're trying to get yourself out of that and you're trying to think you can get better, you're missing the point. You are completely changed. Your identity now is completely changed. Our identity is in Christ alone. You have, as Colossians 1:13 says, you have been rescued from the domain of darkness and you have been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's complete. That's who you are now. And the contrast, it's complete. The contrast shown is what drew us. We saw the sin. Christ shows us we need forgiveness. We must have forgiveness. We cry out for forgiveness. This whole verse is, I have been crucified with Christ. I see what had to be crucified. I see I must be changed because I am a sinner. And that contrast scene pushes me toward forgiveness, and that forgiveness is absolutely finished. The contrast up against Christ, every sin, this is the part where our flesh can get a hold of and wrestle with, but everything in the past sinful life is forgiven. Everything we do today is forgiven. Everything that we do is forgiven. You are Christ's. You are his. It is complete. It is all complete. We are completely forgiven. Romans 8:1 tells us, therefore, now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I can remember saying to William after a Sunday school class years ago, "William, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And he says, "Earl, live it." I said, yeah. Live it. Live like that. That's who you are now. Never to be identified by sin again. You can't be called a sinner anymore. You're in Christ. To identify ourselves any other way would be an insult to what Christ did on the cross. So we are completely forgiven. And today, my hope from this message is as best I could do in Christ alone is to show us more what it means to live this life in Christ alone, and that it can only be lived in Christ alone. There is no other way. Let's pray. Lord, we are so precious in our own sight. And when we see a verse like this, we begin to realize, I have been crucified with Christ. I must be crucified with Christ. I must be changed. My identity has to be changed. But forgiveness is there. It is there. You have provided the way. And we thank you so for that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the teaching ministry of Grace Fellowship Church in Bradenton, Florida, with Pastor William Rogers. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We are located at the corner of Manatee Avenue East and East 9th Street on the center floor of the Manatee Central Banquet Hall. We pray that you will join us again next Sunday as we continue to teach God's Word one verse at a time.